الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفمن يعلم أنما أنزل إليك من ربك الحق كمن هو أعمى إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب الذين يوفون بعهد الله ولا ينقضون الميثاق والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب. سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليه. We function as humans, we function through relationships. Meaning in our life, there are two types. The relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the relationship with the creation, حقوق الله and حقوق العباد, the two types. And we are focusing on the second type today, on the second type of حقوق العباد, the rights of the people. We are social beings, meaning we can't survive or we can't function except through interaction. Whether something as simple as transacting, buying milk, so there's transaction that requires the other, requires a certain level of socializing. Same thing, similarly with marriage, similarly with community, with others. So there's a whole aspect of socialization, of interacting with others, a whole social life. Now, since we communicate and we socialize with others, in deen, similarly, it's a whole way of life, there are regulations upon these. There are certain rulings that we have, that how do we then interact? What rights do others have? So this is a whole, again, our deen is very holistic, and it incorporates all of these aspects. And a believer is an individual that lives in the community. Yes, there are certain narrations which mention that at times of fitan, times of trials and tribulations, yafirru bidinihim min fitan, taking, going away from the communities, in such a scenario wherein it's difficult to live. However, the general scenario, a believer does not live in isolation. For example, one narration mentions, المؤمن الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاهم. That the integrating believer, the one who lives amongst the people, ويصبر على أذاهم, and he's forbearing. He's tolerant of people's difficulties, whatever they throw towards him, insults, however they are. People can be difficult. People can be difficult. The one that's forbearing, he actually perseveres through this, is tolerant of this, is better than the one who does not integrate and the one that does not bear this difficulty. So it shows there's a certain virtue within this integration and within this forbearing quality that a person has, this tolerance he has, upon what people throw towards him. There is a difficulty in that. There is يَصْبُرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ. And every prophet that came had to bear the difficulty of his people. So there is, but there's an additional, there's a virtue within here. Now, the reason why I want to focus on this is that many hujjaj will be returning. Many of the pilgrims, those that had gone for hajj, they'll be returning. So certain things that we can, whether they're relatives or not, we're going to interact with them. What certain etiquettes do we need to bear in mind? That's one. And two, we saw that before they left, many times you receive a message to say, forgive me for anything I've done, I'm going for hajj. People send those messages. So again, particularly relatives and others, but there's a whole aspect in here, an element in here of حقوق العباد, the rights of others. Now, on Mondays, Thursdays, sins are forgiven. Then you have Laylatul Qadr, we had the day of Arafah. There are blessed days throughout the year that we have, blessed seasons, blessed days that we have. Now, on these days, people are forgiven except for individuals who have certain characteristics, or certain traits about them, or committing certain acts. Now, without going into the details, there's one of them, one of the acts, is one who severs family ties, قَاطِعُ الرَّحِمِ. The one that breaks, the one that who has distanced himself from his relatives, and he does not maintain those family ties. Abu Hurairah an, on a Thursday, when he has his gatherings, so amongst his attendees, he mentioned to them that if there are any from amongst you that have severed family ties, then leave this gathering. So on Thursday, Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would also do this. they would gather them and they'd have nasiha, advice, or a hadith would be mentioned, but it was a form of gathering. So in this, during this time, Abu Hurairah anhu said to his audience, his congregation, that if there are any from amongst you that have severed family ties, then leave this gathering. Now he repeated this three times. So one youngster, he left and went to his aunt, who had distanced himself from her for 2 years. So he had abandoned her for two years. She then asked, "You've now suddenly come. What's the cause of this? You weren't talking to me, but you had abandoned me for 2 years. Suddenly you've come. What's the cause?" So he said that Abu Hurairah anhu mentioned this, so I've come. So she said, "Go and find out why. What was the reason for this? What was the reason for him to ask those that are in the gathering to leave?" Now, so he comes to Abu Hurairah and he asks Abu Hurairah. He replies with, "Inna a'mal bani Adam tu'radu kulli khamisin laylat al-jum'ah, fa la yaqbalu 'amal qati'i rahim." That the a'mal, the actions of mankind, are presented on Thursdays. Now, when they are presented, on the night of Jumu'ah, the person who severs family ties, his actions are not accepted. Again, he mentions that, but we mean with mercy. They are not accepted with mercy. And the reason why we require Allah's mercy is, you and I know with what sincerity, with what quality we perform our acts. It's only the mercy of Allah that Allah accepts our feeble, our weak, our imperfect, our insufficient act. Now, when a person severs his family ties, these actions are not accepted with this mercy. So Abu Hurairah anhu asked those individuals in there that those who have severed family ties leave this gathering. And there's a few points on here. Number one, it showed that Sahaba Rasulullah anhu had a very practical mindset. That was a time of advice, nasiha. They didn't just gloss over the sayings of Rasulullah and move on. They didn't say, the one who severs family ties is deprived, etc. We'll come to the narrations that there's a uquba, there's a punishment for him in this lifetime as well as the hereafter. Rather, he asked them, whoever is in this gathering, to leave the gathering. It was practicality. Forcing amal, bringing about amal. They don't just gloss over the narration and the virtue of it, but prompting actual change within them. That's what Islam is. It's a lived religion. It's a lived faith. Abu Hurairah anhu telling them to leave and to go and do that. Number two, he also shows that the impact of how depriving the barakah can be of an individual who severs family ties. Of all the actions he mentioned, it was those that have severed family ties to leave the gathering. That would tell you how severe this act is to ask them to leave the gathering. How barakah depriving could that act be? And at least we see from those that were there, the tabi'een that were there, how sincere they were, that they heard that, they left the gathering, joined the family ties, and then returned. See, you've got to have a level of sincerity for this. I'll give you an example, without taking names. There was an individual that we were mentioning to him about joining family ties. He had experienced whatever he had experienced, and he said, "No, I'm not going to ever talk to them." I said, "Look, it's different that you're finding it difficult to go to them and sit in their company, but at least do salam. You're not going to lose any honor by doing salam." He said, "No, I'm not going to do that. He didn't come to my father's janazah. I'm not going to go and do salam with him." I said to him, "You're not going to lose any honor by giving salam to an individual. If anything, like Ibrahim Nakhai. Ibrahim Nakhai was a teacher of Abu Hanifa. Imam Hanifa in Kufa. His teacher's teacher was Ibrahim Nakhai. He would say, Minal Muru'ah, Suratul Arham, that from true masculinity is a person joining family ties. Why? It's a certain level of emotion that overrides an individual for him not to maintain family ties. He gets over emotional and says, that's it, I'm never going to talk to you again. But he takes a certain level of masculinity, a certain level of control and discipline for him to exhibit that control of his emotion to say, so what, that's happened. My deen demands something else of me, I'm going to give him salam." That's what they would mention. And imagine of all the characteristics they would mention, that minal muru'ah, from true masculinity is this. It would tell you that this is something significant for them to highlight masculinity for this amal, for this action. And this act isn't something which is that it's not reducing this, but it's not just something that there's rewards in the hereafter. But it improves the quality of one's life. Now, there are very few narration that mention this, but this narration mentions this this reward for this act of maintaining family ties of مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يُبْصَدَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ أَوْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ فَلْيَصُرْ رَحِمَهُ. Whoever wants that his rizq is expanded, you want your quality of life to improve, فَلْيَصُرْ رَحِمَهُ, maintain family ties. Rizq means, could mean knowledge, could mean wealth, could mean barakah. In fact, one narration actually mentions in the context of family ties of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that wathara amalu, and he wants that his mal, his wealth increases, then maintain family ties. Another part of it, oh yunsa'alahu fi athari, or his life is prolonged. That could mean through barakah, it could literally mean his life is lengthier, whichever. Whoever wants that, maintain family ties. But both of these scenarios, what they're highlighting, quality of life, you want that to increase, maintain family ties. A Bedouin once came to Rasulullah. Now, the narration seems as though this may have been, he may have been new to Islam, or he may not have known much about Islam. So he asked for advice from Rasulullah that give to inform me of something that will bring me closer to Jannah, and it will distance me from Jahannam. So meaning, something spiritually impacting. What's going to change my life? What's going to transform me that I am going to become closer to Jannah, become closer to Allah, and distant from Jahannam? What's going to do this? And it's a spiritual state within an individual. For a person to have his iman, so for him to be empowered, to be in a state where the individual chooses a path of righteousness whenever it's in front of him, and chooses to leave the path of disobedience, the path of sin, it's a life, it's a transformation. So he asked Rasulullah, give me something that will do this. Rasulullah first mentions about Tawheed. Worship Allah and do not ascribe any partners. Remember, these people new to Islam, when they were new to Islam, the concepts of Tawheed may have been foreign. Meaning, still there's certain ask going on. So Rasulullah is highlighting Tawheed. Again, worship only Allah, do not ask anybody else, only Allah. Number two, Rasulullah mentions Salah. We know Salah is integral. It's our constant connection to Allah. It's our constant rejuvenation of our iman. Salah is mentioned. Zakah is also mentioned. Fard again. But the fourth advice that was given was maintaining family ties. Hajj wasn't mentioned in there. Ramadan was not mentioned in there. Remember, you may be new to Islam. But Silatul Arham, maintaining family ties and joining family ties, was mentioned in there. In the context of Tawheed, Salah and Zakah. Just imagine the importance of this. The concept, remember, this is a concept, however in whichever way he spoke, the concept of family ties, once complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the concept, maybe Allah gave it a form, or however it did, said, Ya Rabbi inni ghurimtu, Ya Rabbi inni quti'tu, Ya Rabbi inni, Ya Rabbi inni uhyi, fayujibuha. Number one, he mentions, that inni ghurimtu, I have been oppressed, I have been severed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, responding to it, says, are you not pleased, أَلَا تَرْضِينَ أَنْ أَقْطَعَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ, that I will sever those who sever you. Meaning, sever them from my mercy. The individual who severs family ties becomes distant from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I join those who join you. Meaning, those that join family ties, they are joined with the mercy of Allah. Mercy of Allah means tawfiq, rizq, sukoon. All these things are part of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when Allah it's all interconnected. When Allah mentioned the Quran, those individuals who sever family ties, in one part he mentions أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, these people are deprived. In another verse he mentions those who sever family ties and they cause mischief, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْلَعْنَةِ, these people are cursed, meaning they are distanced from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now understand the interconnectedness, because we mentioned being cursed means a person is distant from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person joining family ties, Allah subhanahu, is attached to Allah's mercy. Mercy and rizq are associated. So the one who severs family ties is deprived of Allah's mercy, therefore deprived of rizq, therefore deprived of sukoon. The individual who joins family ties gains that mercy, gains that rizq, gains that sukoon. It's all interconnected. The verses mention different words, but they entail the same thing. La'na literally means al-ibad, and al-an rahmatillah. La'na literally means curse. Literally means to distance somebody from the mercy of Allah. That's the literal definition of it. Direct connection to this. Now, how do we do this? We mentioned certain narrations, certain the virtues of it and the harms of it. That Rasulullah also mentions that there's no sin which there are very few sins, but this narration exaggerates. Rasulullah mentions that there's no sin which there's a punishment as much as what is sought for him in the hereafter that comes to him in this world, and the sin of rebellion and of severing family ties. Meaning whatever is in store for him in the hereafter in terms of punishment, but something in this lifetime also. That could mean deprivation of Allah's mercy. That could mean deprivation of sukoon. That could mean deprivation of risk. Different manifestations of being deprived of Allah's mercy, of la'na. Now how do we do this? There are different levels of Suratul Arham, but what it literally means is that a person maintains a certain relationship with their family. That could mean that when it's times of happiness, a person joins in that happiness. The person smiles at them and says, congratulations, or may Allah place barakah within there. Oftentimes, what is it that we see? It's jealousy amongst family. It's to see the worst. They've done that, so what, we've managed to do this. Or your son's done that, oh, mine has done this. This aspect of not being able to share in somebody else's happiness. Number two, in grief, somebody passes away, give them their condolences, go to see them. This is, let alone relatives, this should happen with our neighbors and the whole community as an individual. But particularly with relatives, they have additional rights. And even if we cannot do that, relatives live in other countries, then bullu arhamakum walau bisalam, then, and say, like, moisten your relatives, meaning join your family relatives, even if it's with salam, if it's assalamu alaikum, something as like that. Now, in previous generations, maybe they never had the communication that we have today, but we have the means. So I need to send them a salam. Number two, maintaining family ties is not reciprocity. Meaning, if they're good to me, I'll be good to you. Tit for tat. That's not maintaining family ties. Laysal wasul bil mukafi. Rasul also mentions that maintaining family ties is not reciprocity. Isn't equality where they're good, you're good back. ولكن الواصل الذي قطع رحمه وصلها. Rather, the one who joins family ties is the one who, after it's severed, joins it. Now, sometimes there may have been a situation where somebody has taken your right and done beyond. Well, again, seek advice on this. But at the very minimum, what a person cannot avoid is salam. The person must do salam at the very minimum. Particularly salam must not be avoided. And there's an example of this one. Sahabi Allah an kibtu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ لِي قَرَابَةٍ أَصِلُهُمْ وَيَقْطَعُونَ. That I have relatives, I am good towards them, but they are evil towards me. وَأُحْسِرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَيُسِئُونَ إِلَيَّ. I do good, but they're constantly doing things negative towards me. Whatever it is, in different ways, they would constantly do evil towards me. Rasulullah mentions that, and he actually mentions that they are ignorant towards me, and I am forbearing. Rasulullah mentions that so long as you do that, you are, in other words, you are building a case against them. You are literally placing ash within their mouths, placing ash within their mouths, meaning you are building a case against them, and you've completed your duty. Like one teacher mentioned, yeah, you've taken out your trash, you've done yours, you've done what you need to do, that's it. So long as you do that, you have fulfilled your duty, and وَلَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ ظَهِيرٌ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا دُمْتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. So long as you continue doing that, Allah will send an assistant for you. There'll be an appointed angel for you, so long as you continue doing that. Now, what's the hierarchy? Because not every relative is on the same level. Meaning, the level of what a parent is going to be given is going to be different to an aunt. Number one, parents and grandparents are on the first level in the hierarchy. In terms of tabaqat, in terms of classification, the first and priority are the parents and grandparents. Number two, the oldest siblings, uncles and aunts. The oldest siblings have almost a role of a parent. So the oldest have that sort of rank, ensuring that they have additional inayah, they have additional consideration. Then maharim, nephews, nieces, they're all mahram. They cannot be married. So maharim. And number four, remaining relatives. Like I said, they're all different levels of all of them. And finally, being sincere when meeting them. Now, again, I mentioned this in the context of the Hujjaj returning. So when they are returning and their relatives, go to see them. Make dua for them that may Allah accept your hajj, and spend time with them, maintain that family ties. We would have seen messages that before they left, that forgive me for anything I've done, because of the one who severs family ties, etc., will be a deprived individual. So they've sent these messages. And not only that's one part, number two, that we've seen that even when it comes to Eid and all the other events, that families are becoming more individualistic. It's me, myself, and I. That's it. That they're nothing. They're relatives with their relatives. That's it. Maintain family ties. In Islam, there is this aspect. Now, one of the reasons why we're holding this event tomorrow, this whole Eid event, is that, well, twofold. Number one, that there are individuals who have moved here and they don't have family. So they're spending Eid alone. So for them, at least they can spend the idea of one day, okay, I know it's a few days after because we're in the volunteers and we're in the weekend, at least they can spend the full day with the community. Number two, there are families that are very individualistic, they are quite isolated, they're on their own. Although they have family, they spend everything within their own. Just themselves, just in isolation. So again, for them also, is to facilitate for them, that at least their families can get together and come for the day of Eid. Again, this is an individual duty to do this. But we are willing to facilitate this, realizing that how families are becoming individualistic and at the other point of how many they have moved into the area and living in isolation. Alhamdulillah, tomorrow the event will take place from 11 till 5, between 11 till 5. Inshallah, all are encouraged to join. It will be segregated. Female entrance will be at the back from Clifford Street. Male entrance from the front. Car park will be there. The day will be fully outdoors. We have, alhamdulillah, over 30 to 35 stalls. At least 4 or 5 food vendors. Plenty of vendors, alhamdulillah. So inshallah, come. And those brothers that are ready to volunteer, as I mentioned last week, we are looking for volunteers. So those that are ready, as I'll be downstairs, please come to me for those that are ready to make this day possible. There are plenty that will benefit, so make sure that you're getting from that same reward.